Okay, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. Every day is a good day for Ephesians. What? They used to have a t-shirt years ago. People used to wear it. It said Ephesians, the breakfast of champions. Had a, you know, a Wheaties box on it. But it said Ephesians. Pretty cool. Anyway. We're going to go to chapter 4 and verse 14. And it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But in contrast, it says, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So that's two verses there. And what's it talking about here? Well, this is written to faithful believers, right, in Ephesians, people that are faithful in Christ Jesus. And he said, we're not to be children tossed to and fro. And the words tossed to and fro could be tossed by the billows or waves in the sea. You know, the sea can be very calm, and then a wind kicks up and the waves start going every which way. And, you know, if you know you've raised little children or been around little children, that's how their minds are, right? They go from one thing to the next. One minute they're laughing and happy, the next minute they're screaming and crying, and then the next minute they're happy again. You know, and sometimes there's no rhyme or reason. Say what?
Most times.
So it says we're not to be like that. We're not supposed to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine or by deceiving doctrine or deceiving instruction of men. And then verse 15 is but, and that's in contrast. And the Working Translation translates it, in contrast, as we speak the truth in love, let us grow up in all things in him who is the head, even Christ. So what we are to do is we are to grow up in all ways in Christ. You know, we're to grow. And there's no limitation on that growth. And there's no age limit to that growth. And there's no anything to that growth, because it just makes a simple statement that we are to grow, speak the word in truth, and grow in him in all ways. Later on it talks about children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it's kind of interesting because there's no limit on that. You know, children are to obey their parents and to honor their parents regardless. You know, if you're 70 and your dad's 90 or 100, still supposed to honor him and obey him, you know, in the word, right? According to the word. Now, if he's evil or something, that's another story. So we're to grow up in all ways. As a parent, at least for me as a parent, I work towards raising kids or children so that they would grow up to be mature, responsible adults that believe the word, you know? That should be what every parent wants. I raised them so that they would be independent. They'd go out and, you know, they would do their best. They wouldn't, you know, live in the basement till they were 45. I know, that's terrible, isn't it? So we as Christians are to grow up. Our Father's desire, God's desire, is that we grow up mentally and spiritually in all ways in Christ. What a great thing. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Very insightful verse here, or a couple of verses. Verse 39. This is where, you know, it's the birth of Christ. They go to the temple with him, get him circumcised. It says in verse 39, when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, into their own city, Nazareth. And the child, referring to Jesus Christ, grew and waxed. And the word waxed also means grew. And he grew strong in spirit, which means the things of God, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He didn't have spirit yet because he didn't get spirit till he was baptized, right? By John, then the spirit came down. But when it says here, he grew strong in the spirit, it's a figure of speech meaning the things of God. Then it says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And probably because, you know, they came from Nazareth, and they probably traveled in a large group, their neighbors and whoever else were there, because they weren't native to Nazareth, so I don't think it would be family, but probably neighbors and friends. And, you know, Jesus Christ tarried behind, and they didn't realize he wasn't in the group. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk. Well, kinsfolk, I guess they did have some relatives, and acquaintance, friends. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. So they went a whole day's journey, and then they had to go back. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, his parents. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist or knew not? Knew ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. You know, he was obedient unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So he was subject unto his parents. Who taught Jesus Christ the word in the beginning? Who taught him how to be obedient? Who taught him?
His parents.
Yeah. And he grew. You know, even Jesus Christ had to grow. That's a pretty great lesson to understand. You know, sometimes you get born again and you learn a few things and you say, well, I know it all, you know. And then if you hang around a while, you realize you don't know very much at all. And really learning God's word and learning to walk with God is a lifelong endeavor. It's not something you just, you know, figure out. You know, you get a PhD and you're done. It's a lifelong endeavor. So it says here, he increased and in his stature, his maturity of life and what he did. So his parents taught him. Ephesians said we are to grow in all ways in him. We are to grow to become more Christ-like in our lives and in our walk. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. There are many examples of people and growing. And because I've been in the Old Testament so much, of course, there's a couple of really cool examples that I'm going to reference. But in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. So growing up as a young man till he was 40 years old, he was learned in the ways of the Egyptians, which, you know, as far as civilization, man's concerned, you know, they built the pyramids and all this other stuff. And so they had some kind of knowledge. And, you know, we could speculate. I don't like to speculate. But obviously, when God created Adam, he was a really smart guy. Mm-hmm. Wasn't smart enough to say no to his wife, but he was a smart guy. And a lot of that knowledge and stuff was passed down generation to generation to generation. So, you know, you look around at these civilizations and they all had some wisdom. They all had some knowledge. And some of it was based on godly stuff, even though they didn't recognize or believe in God. Just like today. You know, there are people out there, sometimes the funniest thing people say, well, he's not a believer, but he really operates principles. Okay, great. The devil operates principles, you know. Evil people operate principles. But that's not what makes you a godly person, right? It's putting God first in the whole thing. But anyway, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then Moses fled at this saying and was a stranger in the land of Midian, and where he begot two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in the bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and durst know not behold. And then goes on from there. But what was the point of this? You know, he learned something when he was in Egypt, but he fled. And then he spent 40 years in the wilderness. And what was he doing in 40 years in the wilderness? He was a shepherd. And then he meets God on the mountain. God says, okay, you're going to do this and do that. And, you know, he has to persuade him, of course. But Moses gets convinced and God teaches him. And how does God teach people? Well, he teaches them by their experience, by their backgrounds, by their education. Either, you know, this is right or this is wrong. Certainly one of the great things that Moses learned was that when he was a shepherd, he learned how to take care of the flock. And that's what God was asking him to do, to go and take the children of Israel. And he had to be willing to learn. And then that 40 years, I'm sure he learned a lot more, right? He had to continue to listen to God, to grow and to listen. And he was 40 years in Midian, 40 years. So I guess he was probably a pretty good shepherd by then. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. So then, when Moses dies, the guy that has to take over is Joshua. And Joshua has been with Moses from the beginning of the Exodus for 40 years. He starts out as a young guy, about 30 years old. And when Moses dies, that's 40 years later, that makes Joshua around 70. And God says, okay, now you're the guy. And in chapter 1, verse 5, he's speaking to Joshua. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He said, I will be with thee as I was with Moses. Well, when he was doing all this stuff with Moses in the wilderness, who was there watching?
Joshua.
Joshua went up on the mountain when he received the Ten Commandments. Joshua was there when he went into the tabernacle to talk with God. He was there. He saw how God worked with him, how God gave him the answers he needed, how he helped him in every way. Then he says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Be strong and courageous to do all that I have told you, the word of God, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Meaning, you know, everything that you do, as long as you stick to my word and do what I tell you, everything's going to be great. That's a pretty good promise. We hear stuff like that in manifestations, don't we? All the time. You know, we heard prayer, you know, and we heard that God would not forsake us or leave us. Here he said that to Joshua. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And that just simply means, it doesn't mean don't speak the word, it means hold it in your mind. The word meditate means to speak it to yourself. Did you ever speak the word to yourself?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, it's a great thing to do. Keep reminding yourself of what it says. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. See, the reason for meditating and keeping it in your mind is that you may observe to do it according to all that it says. That's why we keep it in our mind. That's why we speak it to ourselves. That's why we hold it there in our minds. I have commanded thee. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He saw that God was with Moses. He said, I'll be with you like I was with Moses. You know, he repeats all the things that he did for Moses, and he tells Joshua, I'm going to do it for you too. And Joshua was there for 40 years learning and observing Moses. And so then when God says, okay, now you're the guy and I'm going to do this for you, Joshua was ready to receive it and to grow into that position of leadership. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now you probably know the story of Samuel, right? Hannah's there and she doesn't have a child and she prays. And Eli, the prophet, sees her and he says, you're going to have a child after a year, this time next year. And so she gets pregnant and she has the baby. In verse 24, it says, and when she had weaned him, Samuel, her son, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me thy petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So she has this baby that she's always wanted. And then when she weans him, when he's old enough to take care of himself, what does she do? She brings him to Eli the prophet and says, okay, this is for God. What a cool thing. What an amazing woman. Chapter 2, verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramoth to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. So what happened? This guy Samuel, he served Eli, who was a prophet and a priest. And he was learning. And in verse 18 says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with the linen ephod. So he ministered, he served Eli. He served him. You know, today we think of serving as a menial thing. But in the Bible, a servant was somebody that was a very committed person. And many times, people that served or were servants ended up being leaders. So, what a great thing. So he grew. He learned. Serving is a great way to learn. It takes obedience, it takes discipline, it takes love, and it takes faithfulness. That's what it takes. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. See, Jesus Christ, remember we read about him, how he grew in the things of God. Well, he grew and he was compared to Moses in faithfulness. In faithfulness. Now, do you just come out of the womb faithful? No. You know, some of us are learned are raised different than others, and you know, depending on what your parents did or what your grandparents did, it affects the way you're raised. Some people are taught more discipline and more faithfulness than others. Some people are taught more about God than others. I mean, there's a myriad of ways people are raised. I can't say one way is better than another, right? But I did learn from my father some cool things. He was a very disciplined, orderly kind of guy. And his closet, his dresser were always perfect. Just the way it was, you know? And my mom was kind of the same way also. They just were disciplined in that. You know, there was never dishes in the sink. There was never an unmade bed. There was never clothes on the floor. There was, you know, none of that stuff. That's just the way they lived life. So that was the example. And we all get different examples from parents. Some are good, some are bad. You know, and I'm not saying my parents were perfect. I'm just, that's one example of what was good. Well, at least I thought it was good. You know, some people may not. I don't know. Let's go to Ephesians 5. But we have that example of Jesus Christ, right? And one of the things of his example that we can grow in is faithfulness. And then it says in chapter 5, verse 1, be therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children. And, you know, we can only imitate God in the things that it tells us about where it relates to us in human terms. Because obviously I couldn't create the heavens and the earth. But what could I imitate? I could imitate the fact that God was very loving and very giving, that he's compassionate. And then it says in verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So, and that's our example of Jesus Christ that we can follow, and we can grow in that love, walking a selfless walk, giving, serving God. Let's go to chapter 6. Now, this is an interesting verse. It says, in verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto who?
Christ.
You know, we all have people that we answer to in life. You know, if you have a job or if you have customers or whatever, you know, it says we are to be obedient to them. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. And the word servants, of course, there is doulos. It's a bond slave. By our free will, we are to be servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. What a great thing. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So whatever we do in life, you know, we're doing it for God and for Jesus Christ, not for Joe Blow down the street. Or whoever, you know, that's who we do it for. That should be our mindset. I'm doing it for God, not for man. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And here it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, this is verse 1, right? Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind or these thoughts be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what thoughts were in Christ Jesus? The thoughts of God's word, right? He always wanted to do God's will. He always wanted to please God. He always wanted to believe God. You know, we're not like Jesus Christ. We're not perfect. We don't have perfect blood. We don't have perfect minds. But we do have God's Spirit within us. And we can grow in these things and we can get better in these things. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in the Word. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. You should continue to want to learn and to grow in Christ Jesus. And then let's go to Galatians 5. Whoops, I passed it. Galatians 5 and verse 1. Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, meaning the law. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. You know, and here he probably was talking to Jewish believers or believers that were being influenced by those guys from Jerusalem that they needed to be circumcised to be righteous because they had mistaken or thought that if they got circumcised, they were righteous because, you know, Abraham was righteous and he instituted circumcision, but what does it say? He was righteous because he believed God. That's why, and the circumcision was just a sign to him of God's blessing. So it says, but you know, circumcised here can also be figurative in that, you know, it represents the law, the works. And it says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. You know, he said, you were free. You were set at free. You're liberty. Why would you want to get entangled again in doing the law? You've already been blessed. You've already been saved. You've already been made righteous. You can't make yourself righteous by works. Jim and I were playing golf the other day, and we met this guy, and we got to talk the word to him, and one of the things I got to tell him was, you know, once you're born again, and then he said, well, what about works? And I said, well, what are good works? And, you know, he didn't really have an answer, did he?
He had an answer.
Charitable works, yeah. Kind of thing. I said, well, really good works are what God wants you to do, what God tells you to do, not what man says to do. And he was kind of taken back by that, you know. It's like, whoa, that's interesting. Anyway. So it says, you know, every man is debtor to do the whole law if he wants to do it. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith or believing which worketh by love. And the way that's translated in the working translation is believing is energized by love. You know, so before we saw that we are to walk in love as Christ walked, and we're to grow up in Christ in all ways. So when we love like Jesus Christ, it will help us to grow in our believing. When we do the word, it'll help us to grow and to be better at everything we do. And, you know, God is there for us to teach us and to help us, just like he taught those other guys. You know, we have the same promises to us as he gave to Moses, that he gave to Joshua, and we have more promises, and we have more assurance, and we have Holy Spirit within us. which they didn't. They had it on a condition. And God is there for us all the time, and He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow. And He's the best teacher there is. You know, and He'll just show you His word. And He'll show you what it means. And He'll show you how to apply it in life. So, Father God, we thank You that we can grow up in Christ in all ways. That we can learn to be better and better. It doesn't matter how young or how old. We never stop learning. We never stop growing. So I thank You for this, God, and that we can have the desire, that we can have the willingness to continue in Your word, and that You energize us to seek out the answers in Your word and in life, and that we have the faithfulness and the humility to listen to You, God, and to walk with You every day. And we thank You for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.